You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is our Jay Horowitz, the latest edition of Amazing Conversations. I'm honored to have Joe Buck, Pro Football Hall of Famer, longtime voice of baseball and football on Fox, now entering his third season as the voice of ESPN Monday Night Football with Troy Aikman. Joe, I don't want you to take offense to this. I used to hate coming to St. Louis when I was with the Mets. Absolutely hate it. People, they used to call us during the 90s, they used to call us pine scum. You remember any of that? You were a young guy at that time. Do you remember any of that?
Oh, my God, yeah. But that was fun. I mean, you know, I like those rivalries. I know you used to hate it because you wear your Mets love right on your sleeve.
I do, right here, Joe, right here.
I know.
Right,
that's here. Why you're a Hall of Famer. Right. And I get it. I mean, they call me scum when I go up to New York. So, I mean, you know, that's just it's turnabout's fair play. So everybody thinks I hate the Mets and I'm a Cardinal guy.
I used to be here a little fast, but now I know you did.
Yeah, okay. You know, I look back on the 80s with great fondness for the game and how much, you know, that was a part of me growing up. That was a part of me, you know, getting to love baseball, you know, and those rivalries. I mean, think about the lineups with those two teams and how fun it was to watch them battle. And they really went about it kind of in different ways, I guess, with the Cardinals in the big stadium and AstroTurf and Whitey Ball and speed and, you know, moving guys over and stealing bases. And then I think of the Mets and I think of Howard Johnson and, of course, Daryl Strawberry and all those. And our guy, Keith Hernandez, who I know you don't even acknowledge that the guy played for the Cardinals, for God's sake.
No, he's in that 86 Met, captain in the Mets.
Yeah, I know. I know all that stuff. But yeah, I just loved that. I loved baseball at that time in my life. And during the pandemic, when MLB Network was running all those games and the great matchups you guys had with the Astros and Cardinals games, I was like, man, I long for that time in the game.
You know, Whitey Herzog had the audacity to check Howard Johnson's bats for cork.
Yeah.
That was really untoward.
Yeah, you know, it really was. I mean, there was nothing of foreign substance in there at all. I mean, I remember all that controversy and guys sneaking across the paneling and the ceiling to go into the umpire's room to get the bat, all the stuff that went on back then. But that stuff was all like kind of all part of the war that was the Cardinals and Mets.
Do you remember Darryl's humming off daily when he hit the clock?
Oh, my God. Off the clock at that ballpark. I can only, for people of a certain generation of a certain age, that was a monster shot. And now to, by the way, know Daryl Strawberry as I guess two adults now, I'm out of the game, he's out of the game. And to see him in the St. Louis airport.
He lives right outside of St. Louis now.
Yeah. You know? I mean, he's in our turf now, and he's one of the greatest, sweetest, most wonderful human beings.
He's doing a lot of good work now, too, with kids and all boys and drugs. And he was actually at two penitentiaries this week in St. Louis, speaking to convicts about drugs.
He's a special guy. I got the chance to play golf with him at the Tahoe event years ago, which just ended this year, the other day, and got to know him better. And, you know, I just think the world of him. So he's become a great, great human being.
Okay, I gave you my other gripe, and again, don't take it personally. There are too many cowboy quarterbacks on network TV. Too many. I mean, my guy Phil is back in the studio. We got maybe Bobby Clutterbuck, or we got to even up with Troy and Tony. We got to get another giant on.
Yeah, who do you want? Dave Brown.
Dave Brown would be good, or Bobby Glenn Griffin. You know, Y.A. Tittle, but he's dead.
That's that would require a lot of work on the part of the play-by-play guy if he were to work these days with Y.A. Tittle.
Joe, when was the last time you kept score for a baseball game?
The last World Series game I did, which at the time I didn't know was the last World Series game I was going to do, which is 2 years ago. I guess two Octobers ago in Atlanta is the last time that I kept score of any baseball game. I still watch a lot. It is weird to be out of the game, and hopefully someday you never find out. I don't think you will. You remind me of my dad. My dad used to say, two guys are going to be walking in downtown St. Louis, and one guy's going to turn to the other and say, hey, did you hear Jack Buck died in the booth last night? And the other guy will say, oh, really? That's too bad. Did the Cardinals win? And that's kind of how baseball is. But the game has kind of flown by me. And, once you walk out, it's hard to kind of keep up with. I watched the All-Star game, parts of the All-Star game, not long ago. And it's like, who are some of these guys? I've never heard of some of these guys. And I haven't been out that long.
You know, Joe, I'm old enough to have worked with your dad. I mean, that's how long. I mean, like, I remember the one call when Ozzie Smith hit the home run. And he could go crazy, folks go crazy. There's a playoff game in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And, I always remember with my early days with him. Was he, I guess, the main reason why you got doing what you're doing now with your dad?
Completely. And I think just because we were so close, I came along at a time in his life when he was ready, I think, to be a little bit of a more involved dad. I was kid number 7. Of his total of 8, but number 1 with my mom. And I just came along at a time in 1969 when his career had kind of taken a step forward. Harry Carey was gone from St. Louis. My dad had become the number 1 guy. And he just wanted me with him. And when I was a little boy, I mean, he would take me on road trips. I was in New York. I was at Shea Stadium, staying at the Grand Hyatt as a little kid and riding on the team bus out to the ballpark and seeing the rats that used to live, I get, were they cats or rats that lived between? They were cats.
That's what happened in the 69-03. The cats spooked the Cubs out, and that's how we won.
Yeah.
The cats.
That's what happened. But I just came along at a time, I think, when he wanted a son of his around. I have 2 older brothers. I had a much different experience as a kid with my dad than I think they did. And so I just idolized him, and whether he was a broadcaster or a plumber or a lawyer or a police officer or whatever, I think I was just so close to him and I was such a part of his work world, that I was naturally going to go into whatever it was he did. And so I was lucky that he did something that was so fun. And I think when you're a kid and you see a parent who can't wait to go to work, when my dad was at his most ill, with Parkinson's and diabetes and everything else that he was dealing with, he just couldn't wait to go to the ballpark and do the game. And I think when you're a little kid and you see that, I think your natural tendency is to follow in their footsteps and want to be what they are. And so I was really lucky that I came along when I did, that my parents were my parents. Here we are, 30 years later plus.
Joe, you're leaving Fox, give a big break to one of our favorite guys around here, Kevin Burkhardt.
Yeah.
How much of a deal did you have with Kevin before you left?
I said at the time, and I meant it, and I mean it, I think, even more so now, one of the really cool side pieces to this was that I got out of the way for Joe Davis in baseball, and I got out of the way for Kevin Burkhardt in football. And I actually knew that Kevin Burkhardt was going to take over for me on the NFL side before Kevin Burkhardt knew. And I was texting with him when it was announced that I was going to ESPN. And I think I said something cryptic like, good things are coming your way, buddy. But I didn't want to be the one to tell him. That was up to Fox to tell him and have that moment with Kevin. As you know, Kevin is just a great, wonderful guy. I couldn't be more proud of how he and Greg Olsen did in this past Super Bowl, this past first season. Troy, Chris, and I filled in for Pat Summerall and John Madden, and that was a hard thing to do because they're arguably the best to ever do it. That's not the case for Kevin and Greg, but we had been there for 20 years. So for them to step up, do the job they did, and for Kevin to remain the great guy that he is, I just love him, and it's nice to get out of somebody's way and see them take advantage of that and flourish.
He hasn't forgotten his mentors, Joe. I can call him for stuff. He'll pick the phone up, and that's what's great about him. He's just Kevin, you know, he hasn't changed at all with all the success he's had now.
Yeah, and I talked to him prior to the season when they were about ready to get – they were doing a preseason game, and I kind of gave him the lay of the land with our producer and director, who are great, Richie Zients and Rich Russo, Zients being the number one Mets fan of anybody that I know in my life. And I kind of told him how it worked on that crew and then talked to him prior to the Super Bowl. But I also didn't want to be like the overbearing dad or parent going, here's how I did it, here's how you should do it. And it's the same with Joe Davis with baseball. You have to let them find their own way. But they didn't need me. They were ready for that opportunity, and they took advantage of it. And I'm friends with both, and I'm happy that they did.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And they're doing so well.
The 2001 Yankee Arizona game. How nervous were you that going to Yankee Stadium, remember with Bush's on the mound?
Yeah.
You know, so what do you remember about that day?
It's weird to think about that time now. I think it made everybody, and you certainly being a New Yorker, and I sat here in the middle of the country, but I think it made everybody feel vulnerable for the first time in their own country, you know, of certain generations. Maybe they did way back when, but for us, it was like, I don't know. Baseball took a pause for 5 or 6 days. And then I remember driving down to Busch Stadium for the first game after 9/11, feeling like, man, we're all in this big stadium. And it was kind of a nervous feeling. That's when my dad read that poem in the middle of Busch Stadium's field, and it led off SportsCenter, and he got, you know, it was like him and Piazza were the two guys that kind of got baseball back up and running in some ways with Piazza's heroics and my dad's poem, I think went a long way. But I remember going into the stadium, and when I got in the car to go to the ballpark, for that game three, I was nervous. When I got to the stadium and I saw all the security measures that had been taken and everything that was in place, I thought, you know what? I'm walking into the safest place in the world right now. And I don't know that, maybe I should know this, but I don't know that we were really aware for concrete proof that President Bush was going to throw out that pitch. I certainly was not ready for how emotional that was. And to sit up in the booth and to watch him walk out there with that confident stride.
By himself.
Yeah, by himself, and deliver that strike from the mound. And we all know now Derek Jeter, you know, had told him, hey, if you don't throw it from the rubber, they're going to boo you at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. And it just like, it almost feels like the last time politics kind of was set aside.
I agree.
And everybody was just an American and rooting for that pitch to be a strike. And it was. So it's one of the most powerful moments I've ever seen in a stadium. And I'm glad that I can say I was there.
Damar Hamlin, talk a bit. I mean, do you remember when through it like that again, you and Troy? I mean, what was that experience like?
Yeah, I hope I never have to be behind the mic. I hope it never happens again, whether I'm there or not. It doesn't matter. But I just remember when he got up after that initial hit and then went down, I think we're all kind of conditioned, as sad as it is, to think, oh, well, it's a head injury. You know, he got dinged. He's woozy. And, you know, he'll sit the rest of this one out. And then we come back and he had gotten up, gone down. They're still working on him. We take another commercial break. And during that second commercial break is when we could see our cameras pulled back, which I think is the right move. And we could see over the ring of players that were standing kind of protecting him, that they were working feverishly, giving him CPR and trying to revive him. And that's when it was breathtaking. And that's when sports didn't matter and somebody's young life did. And You know, I've said this many times on podcasts since then, but I'll say it again because it's probably most applicable here because of the audience. That the job that the medical staff did there in the middle of that field in a sold-out stadium with that kind of pressure, a national television audience, and made that work and cut a trach hole in and got air immediately in so that he's now in a position to maybe go back and resume his career was like landing a plane on the Hudson. Everything had to go perfect, and it did. And so it turns into this great, inspiring story. I've gotten to know DeMar. He's a wonderful guy.
You got to know him after that?
Yeah, I didn't know him prior, unfortunately. But I've known him since, and he was at our upfronts for ABC, and I saw him, and I was triggered to just be emotional to see this guy. Like, you know, we were all, I had a microphone like this in front of my face trying to come up with the right words, and you have no information, you have nothing to go on. So it was a catch your breath moment, and you just started praying, and I started thinking of myself describing it to my two little boys or my two older daughters who were texting me while it was going on. And when you have that much, sorry to prattle on, but when you have that much contact through text, my text chain just lit up with what's going on. What? And you start to realize, man, this is gripping a country right now. And man, make sure what you say is correct and you don't do anything, any speculating. You know, thank God.
Could you believe he's going to play again? It's remarkable.
It is. And it's, you know, I far be it from me or you or anybody else to tell him what he can't do. You know, but it seems like it's scary. It's going to be scary when he gets that first hit, which is going to come in training camp. I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people there with the Bills that can just hold their breath and hope to God that everything's okay. But you know, from everything I've learned, and I can't act like it's much, but I have a friend, Chris Pronger, who played for the Blues, that had the same thing happen to him. He took a slap shot. The puck hit him in the heart at just the wrong moment before a beat, and he suffered the same thing and played a long career after it. So I think it was a fluke thing. He got hit at the exact wrong moment for his heart. And it's, you know, one in a billion. It happened. And you know, if you're him, you think, well, I'm going to go back and do what I do. It's not going to happen to me again.
Joe, tell me the background of switching gears. We'll see you again tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Remember you said that after the Friesland one in the 2011 series, and your dad had said it first, right? He did it in 2002. To pay respect to him.
Yeah, he did it in, I guess it was game six with the Twins and the Braves almost 20 years prior to that exact date. And the reason, this is the beauty of Twitter. Sometimes Twitter can be horrible if you're me and you hate the Mets, you hate the Yankees, I hate you, you're lucky you had a famous dad, you suck. But I got on there and somebody had sent me a clip of a trivia question we had asked earlier in the game. And it was about game six and Kirby Puckett's home run. We'll see you tomorrow night. And so it was in my mind from earlier in that game. And I always thought it was just, hey, it was game six. It forced a game seven. I was a booth over from where my dad would have been sitting. So I said it, but that's not the case. It was in my mind because it was a trivia question earlier in the game. And so when Freeze hit it, my mind immediately just went there because it was already bouncing around back there. So, you know, it's one of those where Freeze had already been a hero in the ninth inning for tying it. And then when the ball leaves the bat and you see the outfielder kind of turn and the shoulders go down, you know the ball's gone as the announcer, and that's just what came out. So I tried to imitate not only my dad's words, but the cadence and the way my dad said it. So it just worked out that way.
Joe, what do you remember game five with the Mets in 2015? After the eighth inning, mentally 2-0. Matt Harvey walks off with a standing ovation. In all my years at the Mets, I can never remember that stadium being as electric as it was. And then it went poof. What do you remember about that night?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same as you. The place was, I mean, as an announcer, that's gold. As a national announcer, you know, and I'm not Gary Cohen, and I'm not, you know, whoever was calling it for the Cardinals at the time. I'm not Howie. I'm not these great, you know, broadcasters that get to do it looking at it from just one side. You have to do it, and you have to, that's why Mets fans, Yankee fans, Red Sox fans, Cardinal fans think I'm against their team, because I have to get excited for the other side when they hit a home run, as opposed to what they listen to all year long, where you have the same rooting interest as the team's announcer. But I remember that place being like, my God, this is New York. This is this great ballpark. This is the untouchable Harvey who's doing what he's doing. And it felt like it was set up. It became kind of an emotional decision, I think, for Terry Collins to do I send him back out there, and or do I let well enough alone and go to the closer, I guess was Familia back then. And keep it clean. And, you know, we all know how the story ends. You don't know it at the time, though. And so it's easy to go, oh, well, that didn't work out. That cost the Mets. That it did, but that's sports. And you can't armchair quarterback it after the fact. If you felt that way at the time that he should come out, then you have every reason to go down the line with that. But he didn't, and it just unraveled fast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Terry hasn't backed off. He stuck by his gun. He went to a wedding recently, and the guy started yelling at him right in the middle of the wedding, why don't you send Harvey back out for the night? So Terry left the wedding. I mean,
did that really happen?
Yes. He was screaming at him, why don't you take Harvey out? He was done. You know, at a wedding. Can I talk football, Leslie? New York is all about Aaron Rodgers now. You know, and I'm Daniel Jones to the. What's your gut? I mean, how are the Jets a Super Bowl team now, Joe? Or close to being?
I think they are. I think when you look at the lay of the land in the NFL, the majority of the power is in the AFC. So it's a harder road. If the Jets and Rodgers were playing in the NFC, I think you look at Philly, you look maybe at Dallas, you look at a couple teams and you go, okay, those are the teams you have to get through. In the AFC, you got to get out of that division, and then you got to deal with the AFC West teams. I think they can be a Super Bowl team. And I was just with Aaron in Tahoe. He looks as good as he's looked in a long time physically. So I know he's dialed in. I think he knows there are doubters and the quote unquote haters, which I hate that word, but I just used it twice, that don't want to see him succeed. But I think he knows this is the last chapter of a Hall of Fame career. And if he can bring a Super Bowl to the Jets, this is
1969, right?
Yeah.
One Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's it. And I think he's aware of all that stuff. So if he's with a great, I think, head coach. He's with a good defense. I think it all comes down to their offensive line. If their offensive line is better than it's been, and guys stay healthy, which they haven't, like Becton and others, Brown, then I think they can be a Super Bowl team. And I think it'll be a hell of a story that, you know, every network in the NFL is going to try to latch on to. We have them week one, his debut at home on September 11th against the Buffalo Bills, which is a great way for us to start at Monday Night Football.
What do you think of my Giants?
You know, I thought they were great last year. They were fun. I would say this for anybody who doubts Daniel Jones. Your head coach knows what he's looking at. He was with Josh Allen. Your head coach, Brian, is one of the, I think, one of the sharpest guys we've met in a long time. He has fun. He's a normal guy. He has fun, but he also isn't going to be fooled. And there, if Dable didn't believe in Daniel Jones, that deal wouldn't have gotten done. Dable knows what he's looking at. So to me, you know, the Barkley thing, that's got to get fixed somehow. Some of those fences have to be mended. But as far as the quarterback's concerned, I trust Brian Dable, if I'm a Giants fan, to go, this is the guy that we can ride for the next 4 years. I'm all in on that one.
I would be remiss not to mention my good friend Tim McCarver. What was it like to have him as your sidekick for those years?
I was the luckiest guy. You know, he did 2 years of national baseball with my dad. That didn't go that great. But when I was, you know, I was 27 in 1996 when Fox got baseball. And when I was paired with Tim, the happiest guy in the world was my dad, because he knew that whatever happened on the field, whether it was some crazy play or an umpire's ruling or whatever it might be, Tim had seen it. And I was in good hands to be kind of protected as the young guy to go to that big stage and have somebody like Tim McCarver as my sidekick. So I owe him so much, because he could have dunked me early if I was making baseball points and he was dismissing them. He gave me credibility. So we worked together 18 years. We never had a crossword. We never didn't get along. He always knew I had his back and vice versa. So I was the luckiest guy to call him my partner for 18 years.
Joe, last question. The preparation for football, how different is it? For baseball, you're preparing for the season, you know, one game a week, you know, is a different kind of preparation for baseball.
It is. I mean, I think with baseball, the hardest part is the day to day and the transactions. I mean, it is for you, you know, just with the Mets and the transactions, and this guy's up and this guy's down. And then you add to it, who's hot, who's not, different storylines, personal storylines, whatever it might be. And you're doing that for every team, and you show up. And I would get there for a Saturday game, and I'm doing the Mets and the Braves, acting like I've watched the first 140 games that they played, and I haven't. And I'm trying to fake my way through it, knowing the major storylines, and kind of see what happens. The NFL, in some ways, compared to that, is a little bit easier, because there's chunks of information that happen. You got 6 days of information and then a game. And then 6 days of information, and then a game. And as opposed to day after day after day of, you know, this guy went seven innings last time out, this guy's been overworked in the bullpen, he's pitched four games in a row, whatever it might be. So it's a lot of reading, it's a lot of prep, but it's like one final exam at the end of every week that I this big board I make with all the information I have on it. Baseball, not to go on and on, but when I show up to a baseball game, it's a sprint. I get to the, you know, you get there 4 or 5 hours before the game, but you go into the truck, you have a meeting, you go talk to the managers. We don't know the lineups until we get there, and you got to scramble and get those down, get all your information in your scorebook so it's readily accessible. Football, once I get to the stadium, I'm ready to go, because they're, you know, the lineup, and it's just a totally different animal.
Joe Lesko, will you watch World Series this year?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, I cannot imagine not watching the World Series. And I know why you ask it. I did 24. I was lucky to do one, let alone 24. And that was enough, you know, when I had
21 All-Star games.
Yeah. I mean, and that's enough. Like it's time. Like I said, to move out of there and let other blood get in there and other people and see what they can do. But I will never not watch the World Series. It's a part of my DNA.
Well, Joe, I appreciate the time. Good, and you know, say a prayer for my Giants.
I will. I do daily. Right. Just I think of you. Well, thank you. It's sad that you have to have a podcast for me to see that Jay Horowitz face, but I will say this. Well, To anybody listening or watching or whatever we're doing here, nobody loves their organization more than Jay. Nobody provides information like Jay. You're tireless. You're a great, yes, you're a great laugh. You're what they make in a computer for great PR personnel, and just a good friend. So thanks for all the help.
I hope to see you along the way.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jay.
Thanks.